The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Father, grant that with all boldness I may speak your word, and by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. That your name may be glorified and made great, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. All right, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43, and we're going to read verses 7 through 12. Isaiah 43:7, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this? And show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me. That you may know and believe me. And understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed. Neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, and when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Now let's go back up here. Verse 7, the Lord says, everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. We as human beings were created for the glory of God. God is a three-part being, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We as human beings are three-part beings. We are spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. Now, also, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we need to learn how to bring forth God's glory. And it's by walking in the spirit. Well, how do we do that? Well, first of all, you must be born again. You cannot walk in the spirit if you're not born again. And God desires for every person to be born of the spirit, to be born again. Being born again is when God by His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, enters into the spirit of man. And you become a new creation. Totally new. Brand new. So when God enters into your spirit, and you become a new creation, then you must learn about the Lord. And not just learn about Him, but to know Him. As it said down here in Verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me. God wants you to know Him, not just know about Him. He wants you to believe Him. Have faith and trust and confidence in Him and in His Word. And understand that I am He. So that He is God, the only true God. And Jesus said that eternal life is to know God the Father and Him whom God the Father has sent, namely Jesus, and that is eternal life. Now, not just to know about Him like you learned in Sunday school or even just by reading the Bible, you can know a lot of things about God. But without His Spirit in you, you cannot know Him. He wants you to have fellowship and communion with Him. When God first created man in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, created he them. There was perfection. God said, it is good. It is good. There was no sickness, no disease, no sin in that garden. Sickness and disease came in with sin. When Satan, you know the story, I'm sure, came and tempted Eve, and Adam and Eve sinned through believing Satan rather than believing God. And then, so man was in a state, a fallen state, so that sin was in the world then. Disease, death came into the world at that very time, that same time. Well, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son to bring life into the world, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. God wants you to have life and have it more abundantly, not death, nor the things that pertain to death. Sickness itself is just incipient death. That means it's a progression toward death. If you don't get healed, you will die from sickness and disease. But that's not God's will. And we want to find out what God's will is. And as we read, it is to bring forth His glory. And Jesus said in 1 John 3:8, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil." And Jesus came to redeem mankind. Redeem means to buy back, to repurchase what was lost or stolen. So before the fall, before Adam and Eve fell, they had perfect communion with God. And they did not need to use a rod for the animals to obey them or anything of that nature. They could just speak. Because God gave them dominion over the earth and over all the animals. God gave man dominion. That was God's plan. That was His desire, to give man dominion, mankind dominion. They lost that dominion. But the blood of Jesus has bought back that dominion for us. And we need to learn how to walk in that dominion. We need to learn how to walk in the will of God. How do we know the will of God? Well, how do you get to know a person? You listen to them, right? You spend time with them and you listen to them. That's how we get to know God. We spend time listening to Him. He's said many things. He wrote a book. And He said many things to us in this book. And that's how we learn His will, by reading His book. We learn about Him, and we learn to know Him through His Spirit. When you get born again, then when you read His Word, and you meditate upon His Word, His Spirit will reveal to you His will for you personally, and His will for mankind. Now verse 8 here, "Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears." We're to bring in the lost. The blind people that have eyes. The deaf people that have ears. That's not just physical blindness, even though it does include that. Jesus came to heal the sick, heal the blind. We just read that in Isaiah 61. But that is spiritual blindness too. And spiritual deafness. "Let all the nations be gathered together." God desires all the nations to know Him, to walk in His glory. We were created for His glory. Now, I'll give you some more scriptures about the glory of God. Let's turn to John chapter 17. This is the prayer that Jesus prayed before He went to the cross. John 17. And we won't read the whole prayer. You should read that and meditate on it and really see, because it reveals a lot about the will of God for you. Let's start with verse 18. "As Thou hast sent me into the world," and as I said before, to redeem the world. Even so have I also sent them into the world. We are sent into the world to show the redemption that Jesus paid for. Let's skip down to verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone. Now this is proving that Jesus was not only praying for His disciples, but He was praying for you. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word. The Holy Spirit speaking to us through the word of the disciples, the apostles, the saints of God. But it's the word of God speaking through them. Just like the word of God is being spoken through me to you now. You're not watching this by accident. You're not hearing the sound of my voice by accident. God is drawing you. He wants the best for your life. He wants His glory to be shown forth in you. The glory of God does not contain any sickness. The glory of God does not contain poverty. The glory of God is power. We'll learn more about that later. Verse 21. That they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. Now that is reiterating what we just read in Isaiah 43, where it says that you may know and believe Me. God wants us to know Him, to believe Him, and He wants us to learn how to walk in His glory and in dominion. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them. And the glory, Jesus said, and the glory which the Father gave Him, He has given us. We just read, it's not just those disciples, but it's all those who will believe through their word. That same glory He has given us. Now let's look over at verse 10. And all Mine are Thine, and Thine are Mine, and I am glorified in them. I am glorified in them. Now back over to verse 23. I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me, and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Hallelujah. That is just so wonderful. Now, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. He's called you unto His kingdom and glory. To bring the glory of His kingdom to the earth. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. Just as Jesus said that for this purpose He was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose He is manifested in us. When you hear the words of the living God, it destroys the works of the devil in your life. As you hear these words, God's word in Hebrews, thank you, Lord. Let me zip over there real quick. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Lord said, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Quick and the word of God is quick. Quick means alive. You know, like if you cut your fingernails too short and you cut them down into the quick. Old people used to say that. You may have heard that saying. But that's when you get into the life. Quick means alive. God's Word is alive. It's living. If something's living, it's active. And it has power in it. You know, when you give time to the Word of God, so often we give so much time to the physical realm, to the realm of our souls. You know, we worry about our jobs. We worry about how much money we have. And certainly we need money. We need to pay our bills. We need to benefit the kingdom of God. We need money to live on this earth. We need food. We need clothing. The Lord said He knows that we have need of all these things. And certainly we need peace. That's in the realm of the soul. You know, it's much better to have peace than turmoil. It's much better to have peace than war. It's much better to have happiness and joy and righteousness. All these things are in the soul and the mental realm, you know. But we are so concerned with all these things sometimes that we forget to develop our spirits so that we can learn to walk in the glory of God. And it's the Word of God that feeds our spirits. It's the Word of God that makes us alive to the things of God. It makes us able to understand His will. I'll give you another scripture for that in just a moment. The Lord brought that to my mind. But the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, that one verse includes spirit, soul, and body. His Word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, that's physical, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and that's the soul and the spirit realm. So it's the Word that has life in it and makes us grow. Jesus wants to be manifest in you and in me to stop the activity of Satan. I came to cancel his plans through speaking his word to you. I came to ruin him, to cancel his plans over your life, to destroy his works in your life. His works of poverty, sickness, disease, confusion, destruction of all sorts. It's the will of God to save mankind from sin and the effects of sin. And all these things are the effects of sin. Maybe some of them are not the effects of your personal sin. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. But some of them probably are because we've all sinned. But many things are the effects of sin in the world. You know, if you're walking in the perfect will of God, and there is a place you can come to do that, then and sickness comes on you, then it's not your own sin, but it's because of sin in the world and the devil in the world. You know, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the first thing, you know, if you do get sick, let me just interject this here. If you do get sick, the first thing you need to do is look at yourself and make sure that you've not failed in some area, that you've not sinned in some area, or opened the door in some area. And then if you haven't, you move on from there and you take dominion over that. If you have, then you repent and then you take dominion over that. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now let's go to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 12. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him. Now, you may not have heard these things very much, these things preached about walking in the glory of God and about it being God's will for you to walk in glory and power. Now, Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. As we were speaking about the Word having power. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things. All things that pertain to life. Through the knowledge of Him. Remember I said we need to have knowledge. People perish from lack of knowledge. And knowledge comes through the living Word of God. Through the knowledge of Him. So, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So, it's His will that His power give to us these things, all these things that pertain to life and godliness. How does He do it? Through the knowledge of Him. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us, hath called you to glory and virtue. Let me explain a little about that word virtue. As you know, the New Testament was translated from the Greek. But the root of the word virtue is from the Hebrew, and it means power. Not the meaning that we have in today's time of being like a virtuous person. It's not even really the same word that's used in Proverbs 31 about being a virtuous woman. I don't believe. I could be wrong about that. But I do know that the root of that word is power. He has called you to glory and power. He desires for you to walk in glory and power. Verse 4, whereby, okay, we're talking about, we get that through the knowledge of Him. And that's through the Scripture, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That promises, these promises are in the Word, His Word. A promise is when someone gives you their word on something. Okay? Well, God has given us His Word. This is His Word, and His Word is His will for your life. You know, I was saying before that we spend so much time on the soulish realm and in the physical realm or the natural realm or things pertaining to those things. And, you know, the Lord has shown me that if you would take one step toward Him, if you would say, for example, set aside 30 minutes, maybe. Of course, if you're used to setting aside 30 minutes, you might need to sacrifice a little more. But if you've never set aside time for God, if you would just start, He doesn't expect you to read this whole large book overnight or even in a week. That's not the way He wants it done anyway. He wants you to read it very slowly and meditate and learn what He has to say. And if you would spend a little time, the Lord said, draw near to Me and I will draw near to you. We have to take the first step. We draw near to Him. We give Him a little of our time. And He will reward you. I promise you, He will reward you for that. You know, maybe sometimes you might want to sacrifice watching Andy and just read the Bible for 30 minutes. Or make yourself a promise that when Andy's over, you'll turn the TV off and you'll read your Bible for 30 minutes. Okay, God's not harsh, but He does want you to grow and learn. He loves you. He loves you, and He's easy to be entreated. He's gentle. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, which is in His Word, which are in His Word, the promises in His Word, by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, the very nature of God. Isn't that marvelous? That human beings can partake of the very nature of God. Because we're His children. You know, in the natural, you partake of the nature somewhat of your parents, or brothers and sisters. You know, you have similarities. God wants us to grow in His nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God wants you to escape the corruption in the world. He wants you to escape the corruption and the destruction that's in the world. Hallelujah. As I said before, the will of God is to save mankind from sin and from the effects of sin. Sickness does not glorify God. Poverty does not glorify God. We glorify God when we walk in His anointing, in His divine health, when we have enough money to give to others and to do good in the kingdom of God. Those things glorify God.